Welcome to the Dream Life is Real Life podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Hermanson. I know it might seem cheesy or cliche, but if you've got a sleeping giant inside of you, or you just feel like you're made for more, then there's no coincidence you landed here on the Dream Life is Real Life podcast. Listen, as a girl from small town Wisconsin who decided to go all in to her dream life vision, I know how crazy it can feel to chase after wild ideas. Since leaving my 9-to-5 job in academics back in 2015 to becoming a yoga teacher, a life coach, and now a digital nomad currently living in Merida, Mexico with my husband and Labradoodle, I know that all the cheesy cliches are true. I've watched a lot of my dream life become my real life right in front of my eyes. Oh, and I've learned a whole lot about sales, business, and marketing along the way, and I want to share all of that with you. So here, you can consider me your friend and mentor. As a certified business coach, success trainer, international speaker, author, and copywriter, I've helped hundreds of coaches and entrepreneurs build, scale, and enjoy their online businesses. So here on the show, you'll find the real people, concrete tactics, and weekly motivation and inspiration to make your dream life your real life. I'm gonna let you into the nooks and crannies of these dream lives and dream businesses and offer lots of real talk along the way. Because to be a true leader in whatever you're endeavoring in your life and to create a legacy that you're proud of, you need a tribe lifting you up with you on the journey. And I've made it my mission to be that partner with you. Because after all, we are all in this together. By the way, if you'd like some help improving your business and life, then we just might be able to help. Head on over to dreamlifeisreallife.com to learn more about what we do and how I might be able to personally support you and just continue this conversation in making your dream life your real life. All right, let's get to it. Hey, hello everyone. It has been a minute, but I'm glad to be back with you and our new friend, Nadine. Nadine Keller is the founder of Precision Sales Coaching and Training and the author of Make It All About Them, Winning Sales Presentations. She and her team have coached tens of thousands of salespeople in Fortune 100 companies like JP Morgan, Prudential Financial, and AIG. Most recently, though, her and her team are helping a new audience, people like us, honestly, and they're developing a hybrid coaching and online training program to take these proven sales practices, tools, and processes to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses. So much to talk about. I mean, I just want to dive right in with you. Thanks for being here, Nadine.
I am thrilled to be here, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So one of the questions, because I am just, we're diving into the deep end here. One of the questions that really stood out when I was, you know, thinking about having you on the show is what a pivot you're making. So I went from coaching coaches how to do marketing to now doing the marketing for coaches. And it's not just a like Ross with the couch one afternoon, like muscling your way through a pivot. So would you be willing to share us a little bit about what inspired this additional offering for you to move into working with entrepreneurs and a little bit about how you've done it?
Absolutely. So as you said in the intro, we've been working with Fortune 100 companies for almost 30 years. However, I am an entrepreneur myself. And in fact, I was just speaking with my partner yesterday and we were talking about, you know, the early days. And I actually started my career at Chase Manhattan Bank and I had two young boys at home and decided to leave and start my own consulting practice. And fortunately, Chase became my first client and JP Morgan, oddly enough, became my second. And it was right before the two of them merged, which is the worst place to be if you're starting a consultant practice to have your two only clients merge. So, you know, two became one and then one became none because everybody was so focused on the merger. And so one of the things that I learned is that it required me to really leverage my sales skills and network and process along the way. And it wasn't just that moment, but there were many other moments in my entrepreneurial journey, you know, whether it is recessions. We've certainly had two big of those happening. Also, with some of my clients, there would be a moratorium on consultants, or there'd be a change in leadership. So things that are happening outside of your control. And I think for an entrepreneur, it is so challenging because at the beginning, our tendency is to rely on our networks. And then eventually those networks get exhausted. So I've been through that journey myself. I also, several years ago, did a startup, a tech startup, and I was involved in a couple of women's groups. And one thing that became clear to me is that there is this big gap in the marketplace for supporting particularly women in sales. Because when you think about it, 40 years ago is really where sales became kind of a structured art.
Yes.
In science. And it was developed by men.
Totally. And yeah. It is like industrial revolution, like love child, right?
Exactly.
It's like 100 years ago, we created all these systems and structures to become more efficient and work a lot and create a lot and innovate a lot. And then, like you said, 30 to 40 years ago, then it was like this masculine approach to like structured sales, work your way to the top, you know, climb the corporate ladder, those kind of like analogies and verbiage, even like, you know, go for the jugular or
yes.
neck problem. Like now as we're shifting and we're going to get to this, like, it's just kind of crazy to really think about that, like that and even beyond Mad Men era of like, oh my gosh, that was like so.
Yeah. And so we all being the good soldiers that we were wanting to play the game, really, you know, felt we needed to play the game in those parameters. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot to be brought to the table in terms of what does a feminine approach to sales look like? And it's really different from both the seller's point of view and the buyer's point of view. And now with women in the buying seat, more often than not, we're still not adjusting our sales approach to them.
Yes, yes, yes. So many great, just like universal truths. And if we can think about like this bigger picture, this bigger context that we're living in, I think it gives us so much permission and ease when we're in those in our own head moments of like, this doesn't feel good. I'm exhausted. I'm beating my head against the same like sales call wall of like,
exactly.
This is not in alignment.
Correct. Yeah. It's, you know, I think about it as kind of the softer side of sales, and sales is not, it's got such a four, you know, it's a four letter word to so many people. For good reason, right? Because none of us like to be sold to, but most of us like to buy, right? Yes. And it's not something that you do to someone. It's something that you do for someone.
Yeah. And were you kind of an odd duck when you were in those big corporations? Like, were other people having this conversation, or was it like Nadine's on her soapbox over there talking crazy about these new ideas? Like, were they welcomed? I'm just super curious with that, like, culture.
So I would say that it evolved over time. Before I left Chase, I became responsible for the sales curriculum. And sales was very much a four-letter word with commercial bankers at the time. So nobody was knocking down my door. But what it allowed me to do is do a lot of research about successful sales organizations and what they look like. And of course, consultative selling is at the foundation of what we do, which I define as presenting solutions in the context of needs. So when you look at our work, and in particularly, you know, when I wrote this book, which is titled Make It All About Them, what happens is people can buy into the logic of it, but it feels very different to them. What they're used to doing is going into a meeting and talking all about themselves first, right? We do this, we do that, you know, that kind of thing. And again, pitching, you know, throwing the spaghetti on the wall, hoping that something is going to stick, rather than approaching it with a true desire to understand the prospect's needs and opportunities and problems. And that means that we're willing to step away too, right? When we make it all about them and not about us, it's not kind of forcing a product or a solution that doesn't fit for the client. So you can release yourself from all the tactics, you know, the closing tactics that there are and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
That is not part of our vocabulary.
Well, and I think that's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners and the people that I work with, because they're coaches. And so their whole training has been listening. The other side of the phone is the one that has the answers, right? Like coaches try to like fit them they're like a square peg in a round hole when they go to do sales. And then they rely on like system structure scripts that are so out of alignment with them. But if they can come back to some of what you're talking about focusing on the other side of the table, making it about them, not pitching yourself. But what I'm hearing is that it's really about listening before telling.
It is 100% about listening. And I think your connection is so great there in terms of it's really, and people can get hung up on, oh my God, I hate to sell, you know, or, you know, worried about selling. And it's an extension of what you are already doing, right? Most of us are in the business of helping people do something, right? Or make something easier for them. And we can't do that unless we understand them. So it's really, in fact, it's funny, Hannah, in developing this program, we've been talking about maybe taking the word sales out of it. Right now, our working title is a sales accelerator. And we've been thinking, you know, maybe we should call it a revenue accelerator, just because people get so hung up on the sales word.
Yeah. And that's what they want, right?
Yes.
As a copywriter, I'm like, yeah, like if we're really
exactly right. Money, like, revenue hits home with everybody.
Yeah. So I'd love to dive into maybe some of the basic principles or the biggest learnings that you're taking from the corporate world into what you're doing now and like giving entrepreneurs some of these insights. What are the big areas of focus that entrepreneurs can think about when they think about shifting their sales game?
Great. So I think that there are three pillars to think about. One is sales strategy. The other is sales skills. And then the third is sales process. So when we think about sales strategy, I think one of the things that entrepreneurs sometimes, because we're so anxious to build the business, we've got so much to think about, that we don't take the time to really define who our ideal client is and what our offering is. Because that, if you do that work up front, it's going to make the sales process so much easier because you're speaking in a language that people can really resonate with. There's a magnetism, right?
Yes. And figuring out the offer. I think that's so important. Like, especially coaches, they're like, well, this is what I want to teach or this is what I want to make. And then they like make a course that nobody else wants.
Correct.
And they're like, but I thought I could be me and I thought I could like, you know, use my gifts. And as a copywriter, it's like, we have to look at that market fit. Like I can go out and write the most beautiful like thing that you love, but it doesn't resonate with anyone else.
Exactly.
So I just want to take this opportunity to get your opinion on this, Nadine. Like, how can entrepreneurs like balance or navigate? I want to love my offer and want to show up for it and feel totally in integrity with it. And my audience might want something that I wasn't thinking of, or maybe they're wanting it in a different way. I'll give you an example that I'm seeing.
Yes.
Coaches think I need 6 months to work with people. That's how long it takes. Their clients don't want to take time to do anything. They're like, give it to me now. Can we do it yesterday? I just want the result. And so there's such a like disconnect there. I feel like in the thing, what is your recommendation on bridging that gap or honing that right offer?
So my recommendation is to do exactly what we're doing right now in my company, which is we are committed to talking to 50 people who are potential clients. Now, you know, sometimes it starts with your network and they're not kind of your exact client. But the more people that you talk to, the more insight that you will get in terms of what their needs are and to find your solution. Often the solution too comes from your personal background. And if you spend some time really reflecting on that in your own journey, it will help you to figure out who your ideal clients are. So we have a very specific process that we apply for that. And it sounds like, oh my God, 50 interviews, that's a lot. But you end up with a very strong foundation and one that positions you very well for increasing your revenues and making your goals.
Yeah. All right, friends, you've heard it. Once again, hit the sidewalk, talk to real people. This is not something you do in your head, on your yoga mat, like talk to real people. Yet again, there's that reminder.
And okay. It's so easy to make assumptions, you know, but we have such a narrow, really view of the world and we're looking through it through our own lens. And that's danger when you're building a business.
Beautifully said. Really good. So tell us about this second pillar. Once we've got that like clarity and we're organized on the first one, what's next?
So what's next are the skills. So you mentioned the listening, right? Which of course begins with the questioning. And we know that salespeople are more successful if they ask more questions. There's a ton of research out there. The more questions you ask, the more success you will enjoy. But I don't think all questions are created equal. There are the kind of facts and figures, what I call the data questions. And then there are questions that give you insight. And it's really the insight that is so critical. And sometimes what happens is we stop at the data because that's the expectation of the person that you're talking to, that you're going to be asking about, you know, how long have you been in business or what are your goals or, you know, things like that. But it's the why questions, the why is that your goals? It's the questions that get into the person and who they are. And some of the things that typically are not stated in a conversation that will really help you to dig deep to understand how you can help this person, if you can help this person. So skills are critical, questioning, listening, developing, you know, credibility by the way that you are managing the call from the beginning so that you can, in fact, take control of the agenda so that you're not in a situation where they're shooting out questions to you and you're answering them, reacting, right?
Yeah, I live in Mexico and you're like,
Yeah. Right. We call those the what you got questions, you know, where the client sits back with the arms folded and, you know, what you got. And then, of course, our reaction is, well, we got this and we this, and hoping that something's going to resonate instead of taking control and saying, you know what, I would love to spend the first 20 minutes of this call getting to know you and your situation. And then I'd love to tell you if it, you know, how we might be able to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And the energy that I'm feeling around the skills is really like invitational, right? Yes. And so like and this is the feminine approach to not be like, tell and do my pitch and here's how it's going to go. But even in the way that you're phrasing, taking control feels very invitational, feels very welcoming.
Yes.
It's like, great, you're here. This is what we're going to do. I'd like to start here. How does that sound to you? And if it's a good fit, I'll let you know. And if not, that's okay too. And
yes.
I found that a lot of that phrasing at the beginning, you can be like firm yet soft, like
absolutely
firm yet like warm, right?
Great way to put it. And then, you know, in sales, there's always been such a focus on closing. And in my view, it's not about, you know, and God knows there are, I mean, it's crazy. There's like the puppy dog close and there are like five different types of closing. In my world, the close is a next step. And sometimes that next step is that, you know what, this is not a good fit, but we've really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anyone else that you think we should be talking to? Right. And getting to know is sometimes as important as getting to yes, and to allow your clients to, or your prospects, to say, you know what, this is not right now.
Yeah.
So
this might be like the transition to the third pillar, but I also feel like educating the client, like what you're talking about, is like giving them everything that they need to know to make the right decision, right? And you are collecting what you need to know throughout the conversation as well to know if like we do make an offer or it is a no for us. Like it's that like empowered decision making on both sides of the table, if you will. And like I said, I feel like there's like an educational element that's really helping consumers. Again, not just like, oh, he told me this one thing, so it's what I have to do. So, and again, this might go into where we're the third pillar, but
it belongs squarely where you have it, Hannah. It's really a skill, and it's going in with the intention to add value, right?
Yeah.
That every conversation, you want to make sure that you're adding value, whether they're a fit or not. And if you can demonstrate the value in the sales conversation itself, the better positioned you are, if you do want to work with this person or this company, the better positioned you are to actually get the business.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so how does that work in process? What's the third piece?
Okay. So the process, so this often gets overlooked with entrepreneurs. Because we think the process is in our head. And when working with large companies, the sales process and defining exactly what that looks like is absolutely critical. And it's just as critical with small companies as well. So it's really taking a step back and looking at like, what is the ideal sales process here? Where am I getting my leads from, right? What are those first conversations looking like? How am I approaching them? What are the questions that I'm asking? What's the follow-up that I am providing, right? And this will help you really, you know, get a handle on the data, which is what's working for you and what's not working for you, so you can make adjustments as necessary. And it's also about things that seem kind of simple in some regards, but the pre-call planning and the post-call follow-up. And, you know, if you are working with another person, that you are debriefing the call and, you know, getting the feedback. So process is one of those things that helps you to sustain your growth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what gets measured can be repeated. So being able to like, not just compare, oh, on this call, I gave them an orange, on this call, I gave them an apple. And I think maybe I'll try pineapple next time.
Right. Exactly.
So this might be out of what your program is outlining, but I'm curious just of your opinion, Nadine, around process or elements that need to be in place even before the call is booked. Because what we find in doing content creation and copywriting is that there's a lot of like rapport building, education, qualifying that can be done even before the call. So any like best practices or just like insights on what's helpful to have done before a call or to like have prospects?
Well, of course, do your homework. Right. Mm-hmm. So critically important. So to find out as much. And I know, I would imagine, you know, your audience is pretty varied in terms of what they do out there and who their ideal client is. But if they have a website, you know, you want to go to the website and really understand them. If you, depending on kind of what your lead generation is, you may want them to fill out a, you know, you don't want it to be long, but provide some information to you in advance. You know, why are they booking the call? Where did, you know, where did they find you? What would they hope to accomplish in the call? You know, two or three, you know, brief questions that can give you some insight. And then, of course, you know, if you are in a situation where you can't do a lot of research because it's a, you know, it's not a business, it's a individual, that's where it's going to be so critical that you get them talking as soon as possible up front. And the rapport building that you mentioned is critical to that, because the earlier you get them talking, the more they'll participate, number one. Yeah. And also, the more trust you are able to develop, which of course can be really challenging when it's very, you know, when you only have 5 minutes,
yeah,
right at the beginning to develop the rapport, the more trust you can develop, the more insight they will be willing to share with you.
Yeah. And I think this is where the power of a personal brand can come in. Like, yes. You had done your research before this call, and I have things on my website and in my content that's like, I live in Mexico, and you're like, you knew things about me, and we could just like start talking. And yes. I think that's the power of a personal brand in sales. It makes it easier to jump in. People already start to feel that know, like, and trust, that credibility.
That's right.
That we're talking about.
Know, like, and trust is absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I failed to mention that I have a Labradoodle.
Oh, see, here you are. What else?
Sorry, that's right.
Yeah.
Another connection, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if people are like vibing with you, Nadine, they know they're liking, they're trusting what you have to say about upping our sales game, really, and putting some intention and process behind improving like how we feel about it and how we show up. Where can listeners learn more from you or even dive into the new offerings that you have?
Awesome. So our website is precisionsalescoaching.com. But what I'd love to do, Hannah, is offer any of your audience a half hour of coaching in exchange for a half hour interview. Mm. So as I mentioned, we don't have the program yet. We're doing our foundational work. And the more that we can learn about our potential audience and the struggles that they have, the better our program can be. So if anybody is interested in that, and I hope they are, I'd ask them to either go on the website and reach out to us, or they can call or text 860-431-0345. Wow. So I'll say it again, 860-431-0345.
I jotted it down so we can add it to the show notes.
I appreciate
that. Can just text away right now. You're probably on your phone anyway. So
awesome.
What an amazing opportunity for folks to get engaged and learn more about what you all are up to and also get some value. Just like
exactly
what you preach, Nadine. We love
that's right. That's what we try and do.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for all of this insight. We'll make sure that we have links and the number to text in the show notes below. And listeners, I'll be back next week with another inspiring guest that will help you make your dream life and business your real life. And don't forget to hop on over to dreamlifeisreallife.com/show for specific goodies that we talked about today and access to continue the conversation with these guests as well as myself. I cannot wait to see what you create. Until next time.